Blog Talk Radio. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Welcome once again to Elevated Places. I am your host, Sister Ava Muhammad, and this is the Ask Minister Ava edition of Elevated Places, brought to you by the Elevated Places Network. And, of course, my co-host is none other than Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive director, executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad. And, of course, we have a series of contributors, and we are very happy that tonight we are joined by our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. And so we have an incredible program for you. As always, there is so much that is going on in the news, Brother Terrence. And of course, I want the listeners who we love so much, because you are the ones that make this program happen. Those of you who log in to blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces, and those of you who call in at 563-999-3065. This has been an incredibly busy week, and especially if you are in the Nation of Islam, and especially if you're on the Executive Council. But we will have a wonderful discussion. We've got some great guests who are going to be on with us tonight to talk about some of the incredible events that have taken place this past week. And so I'm not going to take away my brother's thunder, because he always gives us the latest and greatest going on in the Nation of Islam. So let me turn the mic quickly over to my dear brother, Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam. And I'm going to try my best, which, you know, a Baptist Muslim has always trouble doing that. But I just wanted to say, and just to the callers, so you can know, we did re-air an older show last week, because last Thursday, the members of the Nation of Islam had to show up, show out, and devil to go somewhere. And I'm just keeping it clean for this, you know, for this show. But we just had to let the devil know, back up off us. And let me just say this: the Spirit of God was on us last week. I got to say, for those that don't know, that the members of the Nation of Islam bear witness by their words, their actions, and their property that they love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And those that are friends of the nation who love us and love him, gave and support him so he can be the man that he is, free to speak and talk and do as God has him to do, without hindrance and without any reservations of support from those that love him. And I'm just going to say this. We showed out on the Savior's Day gift. So if you know a brother or sister in the nation, or you just want to go to NOI.org and find out how you can donate to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, go ahead. But I'm just going to say you this. When the Spirit of God is on you, you ain't got to take a long time. You ain't got to take a long lot of conversation. All you got to say, we're going to help him and watch what God do in a short amount of time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go find a friendly neighborhood Muslim in the Nation of Islam and ask them what I'm talking about, and they'll give you more and more details about that. And I just wanted to let you know that. And so with that being said, we want to quickly move, because we got so much on our show tonight that is very critical and very important for our conversation. So let me just give the website, NOI.org. NOI.org, you can find out about our Friday night meeting at 7:30, our Wednesday night meeting at 7:30, and our Sunday meeting at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. You want to make sure that you're tuned in to all of that. And also, if you're sleeping on it, you need to wake up to it, MinisterAva.com, TheAva.com. While we're sheltered into place, you ain't got to wait for UPS. You ain't got to wait for that snail delivery, that slow delivery of a book. We can download the e-books right now. You ain't got to wait. You can get your e-books right now. So go to MinisterAva.com. So like I said, Dr. Ava, there's a lot going on. I was blessed to talk to our brother Chase Iron Eyes today from Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and talking about the indigenous community. I was able to talk to my sister Linda Sasor today. I was also of Until Freedom. I was able to talk to another sister, Emerald Garner, who is the daughter of Eric Garner. And I had a conversation with them today as we're preparing for a summit in April. But we're still, and everybody's still on the battlefield, and they're still pushing for justice and still pushing for freedom, and we're still pushing for independence. So it's a lot going on. Of course, we want to always lift up our prayers for our brother DMX, who we still pushing. And thank you for the prayers of the righteous for our brother, student Southern Regional Minister, and brother Abdul Sharif. He had surgery. He's out. He's recovering. And his young son, brother Joshua, made a post thanking everybody for their prayers. So we can go right on to the next part, Dr. Ava, because like I said, we have a very much so packed show tonight. And yes, there's a lot going on in the news that we could cover. And hopefully in the next hour, we can go back. And I know the callers will bring up some of the things that have been said, some of the things that are going on across the country that are very critical and very much so necessary for us to talk about. Because in a couple of days, we will have reached 100 days of the Biden administration, and we will know what has been done and what is going to go forward as we look. But I'm going to turn it back over to you, to Dr. Ava, because there's a statement that we want to discuss that is very critical and very pivotal at this time in which we're living right now.
Yes, sir. And that would be, I was looking for my program sequence, if you could help me. Were we doing Noah Green at this point?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We wanted to discuss, and you are going and taking that point, because an official statement that was released by us on the issue of our brother Noah Green.
Yes, sir. And, of course, by now, most of you know that on Friday, there was a news, breaking news announcement at, in the early afternoon that there had been an attack or an attempted attack on the Capitol, and that a Capitol Hill police officer had lost his life. He was killed. Another one was injured, and the suspected assailant was killed. And as minutes passed and things unfolded, we learned that this was a young black man, 25 years old, by the name of Noah Green. And as we continued to watch events unfold, it came to our attention that Brother Noah had actually made a donation of $1,000 to the Savior's Day gift in 2020. This year, 2021, he had actually, we believe he attended the Savior's Day convention in 2020. And subsequent to that, he demonstrated a very serious interest in the teachings and wanting to start the process and begin his study to become a registered member. And, of course, as things turned out, he did not complete that process. And we know that every donor, because we seek donations to the Savior's Day gift, which is our largest fundraiser in the Nation of Islam, and the Savior's Day gift is for the leader of the Nation of Islam, and it is given on the day and during the time that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Master Farid Muhammad. And we seek charitable donations not only from our faith community, but from anyone in the broader community who desires to help us and help our leader do the good work that he does, and that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And Mr. Green, Brother Noah Green, he actually did make a $1,000 donation, and he received a certificate for his donation. And so that certificate, Brother Terrence, appeared, as you know, all over social media because he had posted it on his Facebook page. And so we of course, and I just have to preface my remarks on the matter with this. At this point, we don't know the actual facts, okay, about what happened on Capitol Hill. It seriously needs to be investigated. Allegedly, he used an automobile as a weapon and allegedly possessed and had a knife and jumped out of the car with the knife after ramming his car into a barricade that clearly a rational person would know they were never going to be able to get through it. When you aim your automobile at a barricade that's made of concrete and steel, you know that you're not going to make it. You know you're going to seriously injure yourself, if not kill yourself, just by engaging in that act. And carrying, using, or possessing weapons of any sort, even a penknife, violates the teachings and the restrictive laws of the Nation of Islam.
That's right.
So the act itself, we completely, completely disavow this act because, and we're shocked, as we said in the statement, that someone who was attempting to be a part of our ranks may have been involved in something as tragic as this. But we have to say this, and one reason we issued a statement is, naturally, Brother Terrence, all these demands came out from the media and from the extreme people such as the Rudy Giulianis and others, saying, where's the Nation? What do you have to say? And as we pointed out, when Timothy McVeigh blew up the federal building in Oklahoma, he professed to be a Christian, but nobody blamed the church for his conduct. And, of course, more recently, in January of this year, when thousands of people, and to my knowledge, all whites, engage in this attempted insurrection and attack the U.S. Capitol January 6th, and this resulted in the death of five people, injuring many more. Nowhere in the media did anyone raise a question of their religious belief. And, of course, nowhere in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and nowhere in our 90-year record of being in this country have we ever manifested anything such as aggression or countenance taking the life of an innocent human being. And so we condemned the wicked mischaracterization by some media reports who tried to tie this tragic incident to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan. But also, Noah Green's family has said he was not a terrorist by any means. He was actually a college graduate studying for his master's degree in business administration, but he suffered from depression and potential mental illness. And he, according to CNN, made a post on social media where he said, quote, "I have suffered multiple home break-ins, food poisoning, assaults, unauthorized operation in the hospital, and mind control." And so this is a young man, and Minister Farrakhan said of him, "I am sure that had he been blessed to come through the crisis he was going through, he would have been a star in the mission of the resurrection of our people. We need to know what happened to our brother." So we ourselves are also continuing, just to update the listeners, we're continuing our investigation into what did happen to this young man. What actually happened at that location on Friday?
That's right.
Because, you know, Brother Terrence, if he hit one of the officers with his automobile, I'm trying to see that in my mind. I know they have everything on video.
Right.
But he would, the officer would have had to be on the front side of the barrier.
Come on.
And you know, you may not have a lot of time, but if you're on duty for the specific purpose of watching who approaches, you know, you're not sitting at a restaurant or at a bar having a drink. You're on duty, you and the other officers.
Right.
Aren't you looking out? I mean, can't you see a car coming? And I'm not saying that to be sarcastic or mean-spirited, but there's something wrong with this picture. And then as one retired FBI agent said on MSNBC, he said in his view, it was straight up an act of suicide. He said, because if you're out to do some serious harm, you don't drive into concrete, and you certainly don't run out of your car with a knife, because what's going to happen to you is what did happen. You get gunned down.
That's right. That's right.
And then they show him buying this $300 knife in a specialty shop prior to the incident. You know, I'm not saying it has to happen like this, but most people, they go out with the intent to kill. They just take a knife out of their house.
Right.
Out the kitchen drawer. They don't buy a $300 chef's knife. This thing begs for not only a thorough but an honest investigation. But you were going to make a comment, Brother Terrence.
No. And, you know, so let me say the first thing is, for anyone that wants to read the official statement, you can go to finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com, or NOI, org, or the latest hard copy edition of the Final Call newspaper, page two, the letter and the official statement you can find there. That's number one. And number two, Dr. Ava, of course, we don't speak out of turn on issues such as this and of this magnitude. It was interesting. I had a conversation with our brother, our brother Mark Thompson. He called me, and we talked about it, you know. And then I said, you know, we ain't got nothing to say. But he was having a conversation, and one of the things he lifted up that I can say, he said this. He said, right now, I'm going to think like Dick Gregory would think, because as you were just laying out, some things just don't add up. And he would say Dick Gregory would ask other questions that will make you say, because as you're saying, and you just laid out a few things, why would you do that? Why would you run into concrete? Why would you go buy a knife to do this? You know, so those things are there. So it was some interesting things that our brother said. But, you know, like you said, we look careful into everything. But the most important thing for our audience to know is what you read and what you stated, that no one lifted up for January 6th and those that came on the Capitol. They never lifted their religion. Timothy McVeigh, they never lifted he gave his religion. They never accused and went after Christians. And at the same time, four major events that we have had on the Capitol, and we know the nearly 2 million men that came for the Million Man March, black men on the Capitol, and we didn't leave not one piece of trash on the mall of nearly 1.8, nearly 2 million men and no piece of trash. So we can do that, I don't think our history has any indication ever that you have in your records of any kind of violence, because we definitely don't have it on ours. Because if you did have it, it would have been all in the media by now.
Well, that's absolutely right. That is absolutely right. Yes, sir. So we will continue to follow and watch how this is handled in the media. And we ourselves are continuing an investigation. And there's more news of this, too, but I'm not at it.
Yes, ma'am.
Everyone will be made aware of it. But I'm going to tell you, at this point in time, we're closing ranks. The black community is closing ranks. The real black
community.
That's right. Either with us or not. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us that choice in point number 5 of what the Muslims want. We talk about point number 4, which is the separation point. But there's something that follows in 5, and that is that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted everybody to exercise a choice. We're
That's
not
right.
trying to drag people kicking and screaming into a new territory and state of our own. Okay, so at this time, and please get your final call, your digital and your hard copy, because it is packed. It is packed Ooh. With much needed information. And so that brings us to another headline an ongoing headline that is of great interest to everyone, and that is the murder trial of Derek Chauvin, the killer of our brother George Floyd. And there is an article in the current edition of the Final Call by our brother Barrington M. Salmon. And, you know, he has as the heading, Race Still Reigns Supreme. And the subtitle,
right.
Hope for Justice Dwindles. Given the history of white officers getting away with killing blacks. And, of course, we know when it comes to a white cop killing a black man, which happens every day, it's just that some cases do reach the national attention. But we have to look at history and behavior. And we know the best predictor of current behavior is past behavior. And the
That's
past
right.
behavior of white America has been the Negro has no rights that the white man is bound to respect, as was said in the Dred Scott decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. And so with that, we're going to bring in our dear sister, Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who always is on the ready and enlightens us. And so she's going to share with us her perspective on this trial. And I do want the callers to know that we are covering three major areas tonight. Noah Green, the George Floyd case, and, of course, our special guests who are here tonight to share with us a review of the National Black Leadership Summit where Minister Farrakhan spoke this past Saturday. And so when we open up for calls, you all can talk about any of the three areas that you desire. Just wanted to say that to you. So, Sister Pamela, assalamu alaikum, beloved.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava, and assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. You know, this George Floyd, the murdering of George Floyd by Derek Chauvin and the trial of Derek Chauvin is really a emotionally wrought and very impactful case as we look at how the targeting and the racial hatred of Black America has been since we were brought here, Sister Dr. Ava. As you said, with the Dred Scott case, I wanted to really look at the value of Black men. And as I began, I want to say we love Black men. We love our uncles, our brothers, our grandfathers. We love them. And to see George Floyd treated like this, to see our brother murdered ruthlessly, this is not something that we can just look at and not feel that pain, and also let America know we love Black men. And we, like you've said, Sister Ava, and many lectures before, Sister Donna Farrakhan, and standing up for Black men, we love Black men, and we will stand for our men. You know, it's interesting because there's a biography, an autobiography right now by our sister Cicely Tyson. And she talks about how when she did the movie Sounder, which was a movie that depicted a positive Black male role model in that role, she said a white man stood up when the picture was initially reviewed and said, as I watched the film, I just could not believe that the son was calling his father daddy.
Father daddy. Yeah.
She said, that is what my son calls me.
I saw that.
You know, yes, ma'am. And then he
goes
on.
That's how deep it is. That's how deep
it is. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I had to say that on this topic, Sister Ava, because like she said here that from his perspective, this is what Cicely Tyson is saying, from his perspective, there had to be something radically wrong with a Black child calling his father daddy, a term he thought reserved only for his own kind. And so she just kind of finished it. She said, you know, it takes a lot of courage. She told him, she said, it takes a lot of courage for you to stand up there in the midst of your peers and admit that you never thought you were prejudiced until you saw
exactly.
the film. So she just blanketly tells him, you got problems. You lack humanity. And this is what we're seeing in this George Floyd, the killing of him and the murder trial of this officer, because we're seeing the familiar targeting of the black community. We're seeing that this officer was trained. We see that there's clearly no need for any deadly force, as he used deadly force, as one officer said, you know, this is reserved for the most heightened of dangers. And clearly, our brother George Floyd, with handcuffs on, did not offer any type of danger, where they're trying to now make up this mythical story of this black man who was handcuffed and on the ground, and they thought he might resuscitate himself. So, you know, if anything, they just had, you know, Chauvin had to keep his knee on the neck. And even more so, the testimony is and should be more of, you intentionally did this. We saw the experts today show that there's no other way that this happened, no other way that oxygen left our brother's body, but by this knee being rammed into his area. It was like a strangle. It was like a murder. But again, you know, white America is really struggling with being looking at and unfolding this story, Sister Ava. So as you know, Derek Chauvin is actually charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter in Minnesota. And as we know, this case, really the beginning of this case for me, when we see the officers first encounter George Floyd, it shows that there is an over-policing and a targeting in the black community, because the initial stop of George Floyd and him being approached with a gun and dragged out the car was just totally a ridiculous over reaction to something that we don't even know was a crime, because as you well know, we don't know if that $20 bill was even fake or not.
Yeah,
you know, a ticket could have taken care of that situation. And that was something that would have had to be proven. It would have had to be proven if the doubt, if the money was forged. It would have had to be proven if it was counterfeit. So to take him out in such a manner, yes, ma'am, and that he knew it, right.
Even if it was counterfeit, they have to prove he knew it was.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. So this aggressive policing was not necessary, and it definitely was not justified in this case. As we talked about the training, you know, the training, I think they're doing a wonderful job as the officers of the Minnesota Police Department, and world-renowned experts are telling us, of course, what we already know, that there is no need to subdue and restrain a person in that manner. And that's not what Chauvin was doing, because, you know, George Floyd was handcuffed. They showed some leg restraints that they could have possibly put on him, but they didn't do that. What we saw was this over nine minutes of ramming his knee into our brother's neck, Sister Dr. Ava. And, you know, and finally, I just kind of wanted to talk about, again, the no need for deadly force. One of the officers, I believe it was Officer Zimmerman, he testified that there are different types of force to restrain and effectuate an arrest, like mace or, you know, leg restraints, and deadly force is top level and should only be used based upon the threat level. But like the officer said, he was asked, have you ever been trained to kneel on the neck of a person while that person's handcuffed in a prone position? And the officer Zimmerman, he responded, no. He said that could kill him. And as we know, what is your responsibility to a person who is handcuffed behind their back? And Officer Zimmerman said something like, you know, his safety is my responsibility.
Right.
His safety.
Right.
So
his
we
safety.
See patently, you had, you know, Chauvin had no regard for this man's safety, because if he did, he would have took his knee off his neck when he was crying and screaming and telling him he couldn't breathe. But instead, he continued to pound down. So I wanted to just close with this, because I believe that the witnesses who were the eyewitnesses on the scene, who've been wrongfully characterized as a crowd or a threat, I believe that those people, you know, I believe we should pray for them, especially our babies who are living in these, you know, areas where we see on the video, these children were walking to a store, one of those stores, one of those despicable stores in our community that a lot of times just sucked the money out of our community, because it was that store owner that took the police over to George Floyd's car, which was just totally unreasonable. But like I say, the poor children, they can't even walk the streets without seeing the police committing crimes against our people. The poor black brother who did an excellent job, Donald Williams, he was one of the witnesses. He was the one who knew how to handle himself. He knew martial arts. He had been trained. He had been college trained, and they tried to limit him and try to make his testimony like he didn't know what he was talking about. But he talked about how sad it is when you had to call the police on the police, and you know, many other things. And I think also, you know, of note, the older gentleman who actually they say he was really just 60 years old, but he said, you know, he said he had told Chauvin, look, 5 days before this happened, he said, I told them, people want to go home. Just like you want to go home after work, we want to go home as well. And to me, that was a plea to say, do not do this police brutality in our community. So finally, the little girl who testified, and that goes back to what our sister Cicely Tyson was telling us. The little girl testified about how she had social anxiety, because she had a black dad and she has black cousins. And now she's, you know, he's seeing him struggling to breathe, was horrible. But there was a higher power. See, our people, that we know God. And she said there was a higher power. Oh, and I guess I'm thinking really she thought the power was the police that should have been following the law but were breaking the law. But in my mind, I say, yeah, the higher power is God, who is not going to continue to let us suffer at the hands of as prey. So, you know, those are some of the things that we've been seeing on this trial, Sister Ava, but without a doubt, we know what we saw on the film, and that was the murder of our brother George Floyd. So, yes, ma'am, those are some of the points I wanted to bring up at this point.
Yes, ma'am. You're very, very insightful, and
thank you.
You know, yes, ma'am. What you said about the young sister Darnella Frazier, who is 18 now. She was 17 at the time, and she said, "When I look at George Floyd, I look at my dad. I look at my brother. I look at my cousins, my uncles, because they are all black." I have a black father. I have a black brother. I have black friends. And I look at that, and I look at how that could have been one of them. It's been night. I stayed up apologizing and apologized to George Floyd for not doing more and not physically interacting and not saving his life. And emotional and audibly shaken, Ms. Frazier said March 30th. This is from the Final Call newspaper. And, you know, I just wanted to point out that, and I'm glad you raised that point, about the suffering of the witnesses. And, you know, Van Jones, who's a brother, he comes on from time to time. I see him on CNN. He made a very profound observation that day when there was several witnesses who, and then you have the little 19-year-old brother who was the clerk, and he's in a total state of depression. And, you know, this Van Jones said to whoever I think it might have been Anderson Cooper, but he said, see, what you're witnessing here is life for black people in white America. Because you have us up at night suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yes, ma'am.
Because what could I have done? What should I have done? Really, it's survivor guilt. because since all of us are black, it could have been any of us. As she said, it could have been any of her family.
That's
but
right.
Particularly the black man. But this system is so horrific that not only do they kill us physically, but they ruin us psychologically. Because
yes,
here's a 61-year-old brother, here's a 17-year-old girl, and they're saying a 19-year-old boy, he's upset because I never should have even taken the $20
right.
bill.
Yes, ma'am.
And like Van Jones said, no, it's none of them are responsible. It's Chauvin who's responsible.
That's right.
Why do we have to agonize over what we should have, could have done? And you can take that out on a broader level. Well, are you going to march in Black Lives Matter? Are you going to go out and hear the minister? Because you know if they catch you on video, you're going to lose your job. These are real life things that we have to contend with. Are you going to take the vaccine? Why do we have to live like
this? Yes, ma'am.
You see, and I have been thinking all through this thing, and there's a political science professor that they interviewed in the final call. He said he's expecting a hung jury. And you and I talked about today, that's what the defense looks for. It is, I can tell you as a former prosecutor, it is no easy task when it comes to white people to get a conviction.
Yes, ma'am.
And the system is designed to free the white man.
That's right.
Not us, because it's only recently in America's history that we've even been on a jury. See, when they set up a constitution and said a jury of the defendant's peers, they meant a white
right.
male should be tried by white males who they can relate to. So even though the prosecution has thus far put on a, as far as the evidentiary phase, they have obliterated the defense.
Yes, ma'am.
It's like one person said, one white woman who's a former prosecutor, they said when they got through with the training component, they showed he clearly, consciously, deliberately, knowingly violated every type of police procedure. There's nothing nowhere that justifies what he did.
Right.
So there's no such defense, because what they would love to say to white people, see, this is a white mind. Oh, it's too bad. That's too bad that he died, but he's following police procedure. So
yes,
they
ma'am.
Put on 50 million witnesses, all of these experts in police training, including the chief of police, whose credentials are off the chain. It took an hour
right.
just to do his credentials. He's got a master's degree, okay? Every single person said, this nowhere does it tell you to do this. Nowhere. And especially in these circumstances. And so the reason they have to try to overwhelm the jury is it just takes one cracker. One cracker in there to kill the whole thing. And some of them might have got on the jury to acquit him.
That's right.
That's how their mind works. Then now you're being followed by this overwhelming forensic evidence. You have one of the world's leading pulmonary experts who said 100% certainty this man died because of a lack of oxygen to his brain from this man's body weight on his neck while his hands were cuffed behind his back and his chest was being pressed into concrete. That's what killed him.
That's right.
I don't care if he had drugs in his system. It was immaterial because a healthy person would have died. Chauvin's knee was in George Floyd's neck with such force that the toe of Chauvin's boot was off the ground. That's what the pulmonary expert said today.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
He sucked the oxygen out of his body. That's what killed him. And at 6 minutes, he was dead. I think at 4 minutes, he lost consciousness, and they had other forensics people come behind him. But I know he said at 6 minutes, he was gone. So that's another... 3 minutes and plus that he sat there or knelt there looking at everybody crazy.
Yes, ma'am.
Because that's the Caucasian, a depraved indifference.
That's right.
Toward human life. We're the humans.
That's right.
Woo. But however this case comes out, we already can't get justice because the only way we can get justice is if they execute him.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
The Bible says an eye for an eye. Woo.
Come on.
And a tooth for a tooth. The blind lady is holding the scales and they are even. So damn a second degree, third degree, 20th degree. If you don't take him out in the public square and get somebody with a sword and cut his head off, then there's no justice.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
According to the Bible.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
Hey, you heard it first here on Elevated Place.
It's
true. Hold me back. Don't give.
No, I'm laughing because if people didn't know, that's the spirit of a warrior, and that's the spirit of the national spokesperson who rapped with the spokesperson of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So you just heard that spirit, and I'm just saying that, Dr. Ava, because every time Allah allows that spirit to come over you, we get blessed. And we hear what needs to be done, what must be done, because it's going to actually lead right into our next segment about separation, because we can't get justice amongst them.
Yes.
We can't get no rights amongst them because of what you just laid out is that they're looking for a hung jury, because for us, it's clear. We know what we're looking at, but they set it up so that this justice system will allow somebody to walk. And even if they get, quote, unquote, jail or get charged with this, that's not death when you're looking at a man 6 minutes, you dead in 3 minutes and 29 seconds just sitting there letting the people watch. And the thing that I had a conversation with Elmore Garner, she said it took her 5 years before she could even watch the video of her father, Eric Garner, get choked out. It took her 5 years. And she said it was because of mental stuff. She think her sister, along with other stuff, would have been okay if the mental pressure of that, just seeing that, just dealing with that. And somebody posted today that black suffering is like porn to white supremacy. They love to show us suffering. They get off. They love that. So your spirit is right. Because your spirit is speaking to the devil who loves to see us like that, and we watch. And this is only in America can we watch a trial after watching somebody kill somebody, and we're going to watch a trial about why you should be guilty about what we just watched you do. How in the hell is that happening?
Look
right.
at
so
it.
I guess that's why we got to have a National Black Leadership Summit.
Thank you.
It's
yes.
a state of emergency.
Woo. Lord, have mercy. Oh. All right. So this past Saturday, I'm still trying to get my bearings back.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so this past Saturday, Minister Farrakhan delivered the opening message, the opening remarks at the National Black Leadership Summit 2. Because remember, he spoke on December 12th, and he really turned it out. And we're blessed tonight. That and I did not know they were a married couple. You see how Elevated Places is bringing all these married couples in, Brother Terrence.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's
a beautiful thing. Because you know I'm ready to go. I told my husband better start looking at Rwanda. Okay.
Oh, it's beautiful over there.
I want to live there at least 3 or 4 months a year. Okay, and especially while we're trying to get set up in the South. But tonight. We have Brother Rodney and Sister Lisa Muhammad, who are part of the National Black Leadership Summit. And we wanted to hear from our beloved brother and sister, give us a review from inside as to how Minister Farrakhan was received. And I know he's much loved, but there's nothing like being on the inside track. And his message, you know, I'm in love with the message and the theme that was the summit this week. So without any further ado, I want to bring on to Elevated Places, and we're so thrilled to have you, Brother Rodney and Sister Lisa Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir. I hear you, Brother
salam,
Rodney. They're all right. There she is.
Right behind me or beside
all
me.
All right. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Yes. Well, first of all, we want to tell you how grateful the Elevated Places family is. Our lines are full. We've got people on who have logged in. And so we are anxious to hear from you, from your perspective. And first, if you could just give us a little bit about the National Black Leadership Summit itself, and then, you know, share with us the minister's appearances both in December and this past weekend.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. And
yes,
Sister Attorney, Student Minister Ava Muhammad, it is an honor and a privilege to be on this particular radio program. Myself and my wife, with you and Brother Tim. And we take our hat off to the spirit that you have, Sister Ava Muhammad, in defense of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, and black people. We thank you. We thank Allah so much for a sister like you with the intelligence that you have and how you defend the plight of black people in America and throughout the world.
Oh, I'm humbled. Thank you.
To say that to you, I have been listening to you many, many years. And my wife is going to talk somewhat about whenever you feel it's appropriate about the spiritual renewal cadre that or workshop that me and her were involved in and are involved in.
Okay.
But the Black Leadership Summit 1 and 2, as you mentioned earlier in the program, December the 12th was the first summit, and April the 3rd was the second summit. And the driving force was the Nubian Leadership Circle, who produced this type of summit for black people. To keep in mind that Brother Siddiqui Cambone, who is the one spearheading this, a lot of people don't know, but he has over 40 years relationship and friendship with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He was the one that brought Minister Farrakhan into Boston 43-some-odd years ago in the rebirth of Islam. And the minister spoke, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke at the Elliott Church in Roxbury, which is a heart of the black community. Summit 1 dealt with unity, and that's the theme throughout all of the summits that will take place. Next one will be in August to be announced the date. But the summit itself was about producing a blueprint that black leadership and black organizations throughout the country and even on the international level, because in our spiritual renewal workshop, we had people calling from France and London who would be interested in working with the Black Leadership Summit to produce an alliance for the leadership and organizations so that we broke up into breakout rooms and brainstormed ideas, and whatever ideas that were the best of the ideas that came up in each workshop, in the spiritual renewal workshop, in the health and education workshop, in the land and food workshop, in the economic and development workshop, in the arts and culture workshop, in the family and essence workshop, and in the communication and technology workshop. There were seven workshops, and whatever great ideas that came out in all of these workshops, we're now putting those ideas into a blueprint. Now, the Summit 2 was the action plan to finalize the ideas and that we all agree upon it, and then these ideas will be implemented in the various cities throughout America and even beyond this country. But the spirit of the Black Leadership Summit, the driving force behind all of this, is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
The Black Leadership Summit, one, he was a keynote speaker. There's no equal to him at all. And because of Brother Siddiqui Cambone's love for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he wanted the minister to do the opening remarks in Summit 2, and he did. The minister is following this thing all the way to the end, and the minister has funded the Black Leadership Summit, and
yes, sir.
The key to it all, it's to produce a black nation. I mean, all that was said prior to this topic, it goes right back to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's point number 4, separation, of which you are pushing very forcefully throughout the world. So I don't want to take up all the time. My wife, if you don't mind, she can give an overview on the spiritual renewal cadre or workshop, and that will give you a snapshot as to how the rest of the workshops operated from within. And I'd like to make this last, is that the spirit of all of those who are leading the workshops, they love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. No question. All hands down.
Wow.
Sister Lisa.
Yes, sir.
But
you know what? Well, alaikum salam, Sister Lisa. May I do this, because I really
Absolutely.
Did both of you disservice. I did not properly introduce you all because I think it's also important for us to be aware, and Brother Rodney, student minister Rodney, just reminded me when he talked about how all of the facilitators love the minister. And I just want to say that the minister has some wonderful helpers, and we don't get to see all that Allah has given to the nation. So just for the edification and enlightenment of our audience, and then I'm going to come back to you, Sister Lisa, to talk to us about the spiritual renewal. But I want to say that our brother, Brother Rodney Muhammad, is the local representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Massachusetts. And he has a Bachelor of Arts degree from Northeastern University and a Master's degree in Education from Wheelock College. And, of course, he serves under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he has worked with institutions and interventionists such as the Black Ministerial Alliance and the NAACP. He hosts the Nation of Islam's weekly radio and weekly BNN TV broadcasts. He also is a relentless worker and has given numerous keynote lectures and able to provide the community with guidance that they need. And so I wanted to share that. And then as we bring on his beautiful wife, Sister Lisa Muhammad, also again under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and for the past 35 years, this is a couple that's completely dedicated. These are soldiers. And not only is she Brother Student Minister Rodney's wife, she is also the proud mother of their son, Rodney Jr. Now, get ready. He recently graduated from Northeastern University with a degree in behavioral neuroscience. Sister Lisa has her master's degree in social work from Simmons College and graduated from North Carolina Central University, the historically Black college, where she earned her undergraduate degree in political science and pre-law. She has worked as a clinical social worker for the past 24 years, helping people to heal in mind, body, and spirit. She worked extensively with those suffering from trauma surrounding homicide, sexual abuse, environmental stressors, including but not limited to racism, classism, grief, loss, family dynamics, and relationship problems. Just what we were just talking about of those who witnessed the George Floyd murder. Wow. Sister Lisa is a true conduit for mental, social, and emotional healing in the lives of children and adults, and has dedicated her life to advocating for the rights of Black and brown people, encouraging them to work through their pain in order to tap into their higher self and improve their quality of life. So, you know, those of you that come to this program every week, we never disappoint you. See, this is what Allah is doing for Black people in America through the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, Sister Lisa, welcome along with Brother Rodney, and you go right ahead and take the mic.
And Dr. Ava, I have to jump in here just for a second. I just want to show you something. The spirit and the love that we have for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has allowed for this night for an eagle and an aggie to be on in love. So an eagle and an aggie are on here.
That's
tonight.
Right.
Y'all don't understand what that means.
I'm going to get that in there.
HBCU
love. That means that's some Southern Black College
tonight.
Talk, right?
I was waiting
if
for
you
him
understand,
to interrupt
you understand.
While I was giving the bio. I was like, oh, shoot, it's on and popping.
Yep.
Did it? Who went to A&T?
Oh, I definitely did. Aggie all day
you
long.
You wouldn't be referring to the marching band, would you, brother?
I went to Central State University in Wilberforce, Ohio.
Here we go.
And my daughter is at Howard University, so don't play with no
I HBCU. Heard, and your baby's on the honor roll. I was so proud when
come
I was
on,
right.
Man.
Southern University in the house, too.
Right. Well, all of we in one family. We all in one nation. And I just want to chime in for a moment. You know, we all here practicing, many of us, the life-giving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's articulated to us by Minister Louis Farrakhan, and was so humbled. I'm so humbled, my husband and I, to be invited to your show tonight. Just a little bit about the Black Leadership Summit. And we know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has long ago laid out a blueprint, what we need to be doing. But we really are, he really wants us to engage the community as well. And when you want to be interactive and engage with people, it's just how to their thought process as well. Because they're a part of it, we want it to be not just thoughts, action.
That's right.
And so the one that we did was called Spiritual Initiative. And according to Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, self-improvement is the basis to community development.
Yes, ma'am.
So us to be strong and to move forward, we have to renew our spirit. We have to, I mean, it's been broken. To renew something, as you all know, means that something has been broken or out of repair. Watching all the things that are happening before our eyes, no matter how strong we are, we have to stay shored up. Because what happened to George Floyd, just watching that, just that trauma that comes from everyday racism. Sister Dr. Ava, I felt you so much when you were talking about the injustices in this country, and how it will be nearly impossible for people who have a history of being so savage, because you judge a man by the works, and the works that they have done have told us over and over they're not ready or in a position to help us heal and do this work. So you are exactly right, sister and brother, when you said this is an emergency. This is a call to action. And my husband and I are just our little part in that larger scheme from the perspective of the teachings of what we've been studying in our lives for the last, well, my husband all of his life, for me, the past 35 years. So in talking about spiritual renewal, we talked about the importance of shoring ourselves up, you know, building our character, increasing our faith and our prayer, thinking positive so that we can produce a better outcome for ourselves, and really tapping in to not just the adults but the youth so that we can get all that we need for a separate land of our own. And so we talked a lot about that, and we came up with a couple of projects. That was the goal. First summit was to talk about what the concerns were, what the problem, assess the needs. What do they feel the barriers were? Our community, we know in the nation, those of us have been in, but we're all learning. I'm still learning.
Right.
The thing is that none of us are perfect.
That's right.
And so I'm constantly seeking knowledge from the cradle to the grave. But the spirit was high. The people really enjoyed hearing from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and from each other. We had a lot of believers on the line. So it's always nice to be with like minds, people who are movers and shakers and ready to do the work. And in order to do that, you know, as you know, we have to improve ourselves. Strong person makes a strong family. Strong family makes that strong community. Strong community, that's how you build a strong nation. So I'm speaking to the choir, I'm sure. I don't know if you had any particular questions, but we came out with a couple of different projects, as everyone else did, and we hope to have those projects duplicated across the country, just like we have the committees in the nation, different things that we do, very similar. We really didn't want to reinvent the wheel, so we really did come with the perspective of the things that we've been taught in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice to buy in. Because we do need all of our people. We have to wake up. There's no time to sleep. We're like sleeping giants. It's just no time.
Come on.
I'm getting kind of shy now. No.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, we're going to open up the line shortly, and we hope you all will stay on, you and Brother Student Minister Rodney.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I'm sure some of the questions, and even the discussion on Noah Green and the George Floyd murder case, you know, your insight will be valuable to the conversation. But I, you know, what I love about your work, and I noticed how pleased the minister was and is that this is happening, because the time has come for us to evolve. We have to evolve beyond the mosque structure.
Yes,
because
ma'am.
Nation has always, from day one, Master Fadhad Muhammad did not come here to just have a few thousand people have meetings for the rest of our lives and fight
right.
with oppression. You know,
thanks.
He came to bring us out of this, and he came for, which at that time was the 17 million and is now 40 to 60 million black people. You know, and this is why our Constitution refers to us as the lost found nation of Islam in the West, and speaks of Minister Farrakhan as the leader of the members registered and unregistered.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is time to bring it.
I'd love, yes, if you could talk a little bit about that, how that works, because some of us don't know how to function outside that mosque structure.
Come on.
We have a structure. We have to work to do that and attain the skills, pull our resources, education, knowledge, and God-given gifts together. And we are fishers of men. Not just to come in and to get and become refined ourselves and to grow and to learn. That's beautiful. But each one has a one. And that's the test. Can you bring it to the outer community in a way where they can hear it? Can you create a space that they feel safe to ask questions, to give input? So it really was about facilitating and motivating, encouraging, validating the other participants' ideals and thoughts.
Yeah.
So that they will be ready and even more so prepared to join the struggle. Because, as you know, sister and brother, it's going to take all hands on deck.
Come on.
In order for us to build this nation, in order for us to issue in the kingdom of God, right?
Mm.
And, you know, if I may add to what my wife said and what has been said, it's very important for us as a people and the minister, he's the teacher. And learning from him and how he moves throughout the lives of our people started the open remarks and the Black Leadership Summit 2 with love.
Yes, he did.
He talked about love. And he talked about how important love is and what that would do in uniting our people. You know, when we sit with our people, no matter what type of knowledge we have, and especially from the divine teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, if we really love our people, we should be able to go anywhere in the depths of our community and sit and listen to the little man.
Exactly.
Come on, brother.
And in listening to the little man and the little so-called woman, be able to let them feel us as we feel them. And listen to their story, because all of us have a story.
Mm-hmm.
And put the label aside.
Right.
And just grab hold to the content. Because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that love represents freedom, justice, and equality. That's what our people want. And that's why, Sister Ava, separation, like you said, that's the key. But a lot of our people can't look beyond label. So once we put our labels aside and just be the black person that you are and feel the pain of the black man and woman. Kind of way.
Absolutely. And that's what I do in my work as a clinician, as a black social worker. You know, I come with love and I listen and I truly care And I tried to pick something I can go into. What could I do that would please Almighty Allah? How can I help the nation on a daily basis? Because it's not just what you read. It's doing it. It's living it. It's walking it. And our people are so responsive to that. And the Dianetics of helping them move through that pain and just, you know, listening, caring, and guiding them and helping them to do that work so that they can tap into their greater self. It's so powerful. All of us can really do that. Can really do that.
Sister Lisa, can you tell the audience about your social work, which is really spiritual renewal, and how the white social workers are so quick to follow 51A on black families?
Absolutely. Well, you know, their goal is to divide the black family. I always have to tell them, but I'm a social worker, but I'm not the DSS. In Boston, they call it DSS, which is like Department of Social Services. They're coming to take your children forever. I tell them, nope, I'm not that kind of social worker. I'm a sister social worker.
Yes,
oh, we understand. So that's right. If things get bad, because I work in a school as well, I said, we're going to call Nana. We're going to see if we can get some time.
See?
You know? Get,
ooh, yes.
He, yes, ma'am.
Families, we're not tearing them down. Okay, we understand. Yeah, they approached me after graduate school, and I said, no, I'm not interested. They said, but we'll pay you a lot of money. I said, I am not interested in working for that organization.
Listen.
You know, this is went into the work. But Sister Ava, this is kind of off, not really off key, because it's all connected, but I want to thank you. You wrote a book, or wrote it, made a tape a long time ago, How to Give Birth to a God. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Was it a book or a tape?
That was a tape based on a series that the minister did. Yes.
Let me tell you something.
Yes,
I
ma'am.
Love
way
that.
A long time ago. Right?
Reading it when I started courting. I didn't have a child.
Oh.
7 years I was married. I started preparing.
Yes,
we started preparing on how to give birth to a God way in advance. Diet, mindset, I mean, introducing the science and math, all the things you talked about, it works. It was so, I just had to thank you. I said, if I gave her close enough, I'm going to have to thank her. And I pass that on to other believers as they're getting married or getting ready to have a child. And he's now, he's 23, but he just turned 24, and he just got a job working with brain surgeons, working with brain surgeons in the operation room, conducting brain surgery,
awesome.
Because he loves the brain. He loves the brain.
That is awesome.
And that, I just had to say that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I, all of the children I come in contact with that, come on, I need to go to class. Don't you know our people build the pyramids? I can see mountains. Man, let's go, you know? So, that's very, very important. Anybody who hasn't listened to that tape, Ava, you should definitely get it.
And my wife's over 27.
Oh,
but
he
anyway,
went out. He said you're over. Mm-hmm.
I know. He didn't repeat that.
She's being very humble. She's over 27 schools.
No. Well.
Oh, she is being humble. And that's a whole district.
It is.
That's an entire district.
It is. It's a lot. Yeah.
Yes, Miss. This is getting deeper and deeper the longer you all are on here. But I want to share something before we open the phones that the minister said, share with the listeners. And Brother Brian Muhammad did a good job writing about this past weekend. But he said, and I think this really needs to be shared, all that are listening tonight, share this, because we may have heard it or think we know it, but it bears repeating. And the minister has a way of putting things together, not only the substance of what he says, but the timing. And he said there were two elements necessary for black people to succeed. Two things. One is unity, which is the most difficult task. And that brings empowerment. The second element is organization.
Yes.
And as you all recall in the self-improvement course, in the Will of God section, he talks about organization, how important it is, to the point where even truth itself is not effective unless we organize around it.
Right.
You know, that's what the self-created God did. He organized and arranged order in this universe. You know, our body is a supreme example of organization, and that is one of the areas where the enemy has been so effective in those two areas, creating division among us, and the division leads to us remaining disorganized, sort of this every man for himself mentality.
Absolutely, which is not helpful at all. You have to dismantle.
Yes, ma'am.
And unity there.
Yes, ma'am. So, beloved, we are so happy to have you here. And if you would remain with us, we're going to get to the phones. And we're going to start right at the top. And that's with Brother Daryl, who has a comment. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Daryl.
Wa alaykum as-salam, beloved. How you doing, Sister Ava?
And
Brother
Terrence
and all our family that's on the panel, happy Savior's Day.
Happy Savior's Day to you, too.
It's kind of hard. I was listening to you, Sister Ava, as you, the warrior that you always have been. It's hard to hold back the tears because the love of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan and the love that he has put in the believers, it brings the spirit out of us. He said at the meeting, when he did Madison Square Garden, now is the time. We must go free now because as I speak, I can hardly hold my tears back because it hurts to hear our people dying like this. Tamir Rice, a baby before the car stopped, he's dead. Before we do anything, they die. And I'm so full of the spirit, Sister Ava. And I pray Allah bless me to send Kennedy Baptist to death, cutting their damn heads off and laying it on the pole and dare the world to see and take it off. This has to stop. I'm so full, Sister Ava. I can't take it. It's unbearable to sit back with these teachers. And I know Allah got us. But we got to get busy. Separate, and when we separate from this beat and he come anywhere near our area, we're going to cut their damn heads off because this is ridiculous that our people are dying like this in the century of 2021. It got to stop. And I feel your spirit, and I'm sorry, you know, for feeling, this tense like this, but we have a lot in us, and if we don't, we in trouble. I feel the love. That was our brother, my nephew, my uncle, my cousin. And the whole world seen it, and you're going to try to get this man second or third degree? No.
Right.
Death, like the Bible, Quran said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. It's time for us to go to war with this beast. We can't no longer sit back and watch these people kill our people. It has to stop. I'm sorry for being,
No, don't apologize.
Like I have over your phone line, but my spirit is strong. I've always been said, you're a warrior. I can't wait till Allah continue to get some of this rest off of me. So when I take a head, damn it, I can sit back and eat a bowl of bean soup and a slice of bean pie and won't have to look over my shoulder, knowing that Allah, knowing I did the right thing. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Yes. See, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it. He said, Allah will make you separate. And this vaccine and this murder are the line of demarcation.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to go to Brother Mark.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava.
Brother TC.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, is that Mark, final call on the corner from Durham now in Atlanta, Mark?
This is I, sir.
Oh, crazy.
Come on,
Sister Ava. My brother. Yes, sir.
Sister Ava, what you had said about George Floyd and hearing the brother saying what he had stated, we're tuning in as far as our thought process is coming. Mm. Because, as you said, death is the only justice. Even if he gets time for what he did with the charges they got, that's not justice.
That's
and I
right.
hope our people don't see that as justice. The whole
that's
world
right.
saw this man kill a human being.
Yes,
and
he
the
did.
Honorable Louis Farrakhan told us years ago that the devil treats his own different. And he's showing us outright, right in front of our face, how he treats his own different. It's not premeditated. Most folks think premeditated murder is something that you think about over days and weeks and time mm-hmm. that you're going to do this. That man decided to murder him when he had him down.
That's
no good,
right.
damnable
so
devil.
Yes.
And it shows you what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. They are merciless people. They have no mercy for us.
None.
And we still want to live with these damnable, wicked demons. I pray to Allah that I'm with that brother and with you, Sister Ava, because Sister Ava, if I was growing up and the fight was going on, I ain't going to get more. I'm going to get my sister Ava, because you are fearless,
yes,
sister. You are fearless, by Allah. Yes, ma'am. But there's no justice for us. Like you said, the 1857
None.
Dred Scott decision is still around.
That's right.
But we so hard-headed that we don't want to accept the fact that these people are the devil, that the Most
Honorable
right. Elijah Muhammad said they were. And he's not going to be made a lie.
That's
and nor
ever.
Is his student, top student,
Come
Honorable
on.
Muslim Louis Farrakhan. He said don't take the vaccine. The whole world heard that. And this man has a 66-year track record amongst our people. But you're going to take
right.
the word of a damn devil, Dr. Fauci, who you have no knowledge of, who ain't never stood up for our people, and take a vaccine? Well, if you take the vaccine, then you out of here then. That's all I got to say. I'm really not feeling sorry, even family members, Sister Ava. I'm just telling you. Because Farrakhan puts his life on the line for our people, day in and day out. And you still want to trust his ass people? No. But that's it on that. But one last thing with Noah Gary, sister, the brother you were talking about in D.C.?
Yes, sir.
Is that his
Noah
name?
Green. Noah Green.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Noah Green, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It reminded me when he was talking about what he was going through as far
yes.
as the problems he was going through, the mental problems, that were feeding him food or giving him operations. It made me think of the Manchurian Candidate.
Yes, several people have said that. That's right, yes.
And I believe he was going through those type of things. But
yes,
also,
sir.
For me watching it, it was really the devil gauging the Nation of Islam and how black people were
Come
reacting.
On.
They
Come
thought
on.
We were going, our people were going to turn from the Nation and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But what really got them really motivated to probably pull this off, sister, because I don't think the brother did that on his own. He might have had mental problems, but we all got mental problems living in America.
Come on,
but,
say it.
But, sister, that brother, I just don't believe he did what he did. But Wednesday night, prior to that Friday night, or when the incident happened in D.C., that Wednesday night, the Nation of Islam raised over $600,000 in less than about 3 hours.
No, Thursday night, the night before.
Oh,
was
it Thursday night? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Thank you, sister. Thursday
yeah,
night.
Thursday.
It was the night before.
Night before. That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
We did a rebroadcast. We played a pre-record on
yes,
this program.
Ma'am.
We were all participating. Yeah.
That's right.
Allahu Akbar. And sister, I thank you and our supreme captain because you two basically motivated us to get busy that night, not wait for 30 days. Y'all motivated us to get busy that night. Praise be to Allah. But what I was saying is that that thing with our brother when they went there. I mean, let me not lose my thought. He, man, I lost the thought. Anyway,
you were go ahead. But you were talking about the turning people against the nation.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And,
well,
and that this happened right after that, right after we raised that money.
Yes, ma'am. We raised $600,000+ or more than that.
That's
in less
right.
than 2.5 to 3 hours. The devil's
That's
watching
right.
everything, listening to everything.
Yes, he is.
He's seeing that we moving. Ain't nothing stopping this nation of Islam. Nothing stopping us. Only thing stopping us is us. And we ain't stopping. It's a spirit that's
right.
in us now, sisters, that is from Master Father Muhammad that we moving out. And we're seeing that we can do anything that we want to do in a short period of time if we decide to do it. But the
that's
devil
right.
saw that. And I'm thinking he's calculating, well, let me try to, you know, throw the people off of Minister Farrakhan and turn against him. Because we're going to say this man is a member of the Nation of Islam, blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. But it didn't work, sister. And as I was
no.
watching the news with our people who were, you know, doing the broadcasting, they were, as the devil was, he was trying to be vicious with it. The Minister Farrakhan, the anti-Semite, they were saying it with such force and passion. But our people might have been doing the news. Their passion wasn't there with that. They were, like, holding
mm-hmm.
back.
No traction. It's, yeah.
No, there you go. They were holding back, no traction. Because they know, and our people know the Minister, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is right. Whether they agree with him or not, they know he's right. They know that. And they know this Nation of Islam is on the move, and they know we mean well for our people. And I'm telling you,
That's right.
our people out there, they're thirsting for the truth because they're buying these final calls up. Easy now. It's much easier to sell the paper because our people are recognizing that it's our time, Sister Ava. But I just
yes,
wanted
sir.
To say that. And thank you very
thank
much.
You,
it means taking
Mark.
So much time, but I love
oh,
my
no.
nation.
Great
I love my people, and my prayer, my sacrifice, and my life and my death all for Allah. And I'm gonna be called upon that. And I pray to Master Father Muhammad that I don't punk out on that oath I gave. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam. Oh, beautiful, brother Mark. All right, go ahead, soldier. That's
you said
good.
It all, Dave. You said it all. You said all this off tonight. You were the trigger to spark all this energy, all this fire that's coming on elevated places.
Well, I'm telling you, watching that, watching this trial, and then what they and Brother Mark is right. They actually tried to run something. You know, I don't want to get started again because we only got a 25 minutes left. Let me get back. to the phones, because I know I saw, there she is, sister. I know Sister Ula's on there, and I want to get to her. This is one of our popular callers, Brother Rodney, Sister Lisa. But if you call her too late, she's you might miss her. She might be going to bed. That's her snoring right now.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my sister.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well,
yes, ma'am. You know, I think I've solved the case. I heard Minister Farrakhan say he would never get a car that has these automatic devices that can, you know, these new cars they got out here now. He said he would never have one of those automatic cars that drives by itself.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And when you said that about the brother, that everything clicked. I don't want these cars that got automatic devices that can open the door from wherever they at. I don't want that because like with this Tiger Woods, that when
Ooh.
I heard about his accident, all they had to do was run the brother over a bridge with his own car. You know, I don't trust these devils. And same with the knife. We don't know if he bought the knife or they bought it. We don't know what these devils
right.
do, you know. And back to Gray, his name is Graham Carey. He is a researcher. He wrote several books in Australia. Everyone needs to pull him up on Messenger. I sent it to Brother Terrence. He talks about this global pandemic designed to destroy all black business, all businesses, not just black, but all businesses. So that we'll have to go through, as he put it, this benevolent white man. And he will tell them they can't get no money without taking, quite naturally, the vaccine. So the Honorable Elijah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us to be, in other words, we must become financially stable so that when this day and time comes, we don't have to go to him for nothing. As you say, Sister Ava, we must, Allah go make us separate. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we could, right. He's going to make us. That's powerful.
Oh, praise be to Allah.
I've heard another person, I can't think of her name, it's a woman. They were circulating it, a woman on YouTube who's a banker, and she said the same thing, that one of the primary objectives with this pandemic is to shut down the small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about totalitarianism, behavioral control, a police state. And you know what's more shocking than the wickedness and the hypocrisy and the lies that we're watching? You know, you're looking at psychosis where you turn on the Today Show and they're saying the cases are up and now all the children have it. Suddenly, all the children, because the old people are either die from the vaccine or they got it and they supposedly are okay. But now it's the children, and there's COVID in the daycare centers. That's what they announced. Which is to say, we're going to go in and stab the babies now. But then they'll turn around and say, well, we had 40,000 people come out for a baseball game. And everybody's being vaccinated, but there's the new variant from the UK has arrived, and it's dominating.
We need to have Dr. Aline and Dr. Keeley on the panel on this show, because I've listened to both of these.
I'm bringing both of them on at the same time because these giants
have a lot of information that will solve, crack this case. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said this. He said he deceived the whole world and brought them into subjection to his will. Now this region I came from, Minister Hamza taught us that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught him, teach the people Yaqub's history often. Once we know the history of how he made the doctors and the nurses, the undertakers and the preachers, other than
the preachers,
that's what I said, the preachers, and they're doing, are they doing the same thing now? So I'm asking all the believers to hear me now. Let us get up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Let us pray to Allah to guide us on the right path. If this pandemic is a hoax, guide us into directions to let us know this is a hoax. Thank you so much,
ma'am.
Sister Ava. Love, honor,
excellent
and respect
insight.
You. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Excellent. Yes, sir.
Can I just say one thing? I understand, and I definitely understand what our sister, Sister Ula, just said, and I love her and I respect her. I just have to interject. I'm not looking to find out if this pandemic is a host or not, because what I have heard is the July 4th lecture by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the criterion, and he said that this is a pestilence from heaven. So whatever it is, the minister says a pestilence for heaven. And I'm just saying that because I understand there is information out there, and there's a lot of information coming left and right. I just want us to always be very mindful and guided by the guide that's in our midst. That's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the criterion is that this is a pestilence for heaven. So
So if you want a solution from that which came to heaven, then you have to take the best thing she did, say, let's get up at prayer time, Fajr prayer. As we, oh, we didn't mention Ramadan on Tuesday, and we will be hearing from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan
right.
on the Ramadan prayer line.
That's right.
So if you want to get some spiritual juice and get over the pandemic and get ready for Ramadan and the voice of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But let's stay focused on what he is giving us, because we can't be taken off track by others that are teaching when we have a teacher, a warner, and a guide in our midst.
Well, and I think to your point too, we there's a lot of deception going on, but the deception is in the response. It's the as he said, the death is in the vaccine. It's the vaccine
right.
that Satan has made. And so what we're witnessing is what the pandemic is bringing out. And part of it is the deception that we're seeing is Satan revealing himself. He's revealing himself.
That's right.
He plans, and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. And so what has happened is everything is being exposed. Everything's being manifested as a result of this. And this is really Satan's Alamo. It's his last stand. And the minister had me write an article on the final call in December, because he said, he called me on the phone. He said, sister, we need an article. He had me write an article. He said, write on the overarching goal, which is depopulation.
That's right.
Which, as we That's know, he taught on in the time and what must be done. There is a plan to rid the earth, which is so our earth, the made people, have a plan to eliminate the original people, the indigenous people, the black, brown, and red people, and they want to cull the population, which is over 5 billion, and kill 2 to 3 billion people, 150 million in America. That's half the population. That's white people, too. Ain't no 150
mm-hmm.
million original people in America.
Oh, same.
Okay, you know, the Bill Gates of the world, the eugenics people.
Yep.
Okay, so and I'm glad you clarified it, Brother Terrence, and reminded us of the criterion, because we know there is a lot of deception and hoaxes and opposite, but we don't want to confuse our expression.
That's right.
Of what it is, because the pestilence itself, he said it, you're right, it came from heaven and you have to go to heaven. In other words, get up into the thinking of Allah God.
Yes, that's it, right?
You know,
okay. Because he said,
you know,
your scholarship will never solve it, because it's a scholarship from hell. And
go ahead.
You remember they told us when the vaccine comes, it'll be life normal again. Everything
Come
will
on.
Be hunky-dory, and we can all go to Disney World. Now you've got the vaccine, and don't take your mask off. Don't come out your house. And they said today, well, it works for about 6 months, the vaccine.
Then they want
you
to get
have to come
shot.
Back and get a booster shot.
Right. That's what they said.
Come on.
We love the devil because he gives us nothing.
There's nothing.
Nothing.
And you know, Sister Ava, it just reminds me, you know, you really took the words out of my mouth. It just reminds me of the motherland. They always wanted Buddha civilization. They always wanted the continent. And they figure now we can get it without firing a shot.
Look at
it. The Bible talks about pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, places where we never thought they would be. And so, yes, the minister is so right. And they know he doesn't lie. They never call him a liar. They call him a hater. And they never can prove that. You know, because we don't have to teach anyone to hate white folks. They did a good job of that themselves.
Exactly.
But they want to take us out of the way, the original people of the earth, without firing a shot. And knowing that it's truthful and that this is coming from heaven, they wanted to buy into it and then put their agenda, like you said, the Bill Gates of the world, they always been wanting to do this.
Margaret Thatcher.
And now they figure they can do it now, along with the Rockefellers.
Go ahead. That's it. This is their best and last chance.
He's a planner.
That's it. That is it. Without
firing. You know what was really, they wanted to charge the minister with insurrection, and when they looked in the trap, he wasn't in there. It was Trump.
Well.
Oh, you know, I was watching a shark movie with my granddaughter. She's 4. He said, "Mimi, do you like shark movies?" So I said, "Sure." So she, you know, they go to Netflix and all that stuff and use a remote. And so we're watching this film, and it's this prehistoric shark, and he's going around wreaking havoc, tearing boats apart and swallowing people. So this billionaire hires some people and said, "We're going to just go kill the shark." And he had a helicopter fly over, and they fired. They said, "Oh, we see him. We got him." They threw depth charges at him and all that, blew him up. So the billionaire comes up on a speedboat because he wants to get some of the shark's teeth. And tells one of his staff, one of the divers, go in there and get his teeth, so I can put it on my office desk. So the guy goes and comes back. He said, "This thing doesn't have any teeth." He said, "We didn't kill a shark. We killed a whale."
Ooh,
and then the music came. It was like, "Oh, my God." And the shark came up from under and swallowed the whole thing, including this guy. You know, and so... when you said they went to the trap, see, they thought they had the minister, but they had their own president.
And the Trump card.
And the minister
comes up behind them
and swallows them, you know. So you can't calculate how to defeat Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Do it. You can't even come up with a plan. A viable plan.
That's right.
Just like he said,
it's
the
all
messages,
over with the shouting.
The Christ, that they will set traps for you, brother, but you will never be caught in it.
That's right. You sure
took it right out my head, mouth. I was going to say that.
All praise is due to Allah.
Due to
Allah.
We're
going to
Sister
brother,
Ava, we
brother
love you
Michael.
So much. We love you
oh,
so
love
much.
You
and, You are doing such a wonderful job, along with Brother Ishmael and the others in the executive council. We always have you all in our prayers.
We do. We pray
Thank
for
you
all
so
all the time.
Thank you so
all
much.
The time, because it works.
Praise be to Allah. Well, we've got Brother Michael. He's on the phone with a comment. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Michael.
Assalamu alaikum, sister. How y'all doing this evening?
Oh, we're doing fine, sir, by the grace of Allah.
That's great. Yeah, this show has been absolutely fire. I've been on every minute of it. You know, I've been listening to you for like the last 10 years almost. And the show is excellent. I love every bit of it. My comment was what you were talking about earlier with the $20 bill incident, you know, with the whole thing about the young man who was testifying. He actually said, "I was just going to take the loss."
Wow.
You know, and just pay out of my paycheck. But I went ahead on and consulted with my boss because I didn't know if that was the right thing for me to do. So when he went and asked him, he said, "No, go out there and get the $20 bill from him. He said he was kind of hesitant at first, but he went ahead and went out there. Then he came back in the second time and said, look, I'll just go ahead on and pay for it. Don't even worry about it. Just take it out of my check. And his boss was like, no, go back out there again. That's why they went out there twice when you seen it.
Yes, sir.
They went out there two different times. The first time he went out there by himself. The second time he had the girl and another person there. You know, so that, and then real quick, this thing about this Senator Matt Gaetz, whatever his name is. Now, it's just like the brother said earlier. But it is what they do.
Come on.
They always got somebody coming in, giving them a hand, somebody coming in, getting them out of trouble, somebody coming in, giving them the benefit of the doubt, even though they are guilty. And they know.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're getting away with it. So, just like you said, trying to get rid of the black man without firing a shot. And at the same time, psychologically and emotionally, traumatizing us to the point where we're going to go inside ourselves. So this show, thing you've been doing on top of all your books online, I've got pretty much all of them. It's getting me in the mindset because we at war. Like our sister Vicki Diller always talks about, we at war right now. You know?
That's right.
And it's time
for
us to get our war mind together, and it's time for us to get our material together so we can either separate or we have to defend ourselves. So that's what I wanted to say. I love all y'all. Thank you for having me on the show and having the comment. And I'm going to like to see you all.
Brother Michael, thank you for gracing us with your comments and call in more often. This
yes,
was wonderful insight.
Down.
All right, beloved.
Thank you. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, you look at what that brother's going through, that 19-year-old store clerk. And, I'm listening to Brother Michael and it bringing him back up. They did a story on the young brother on the Today Show, and they covered it. And it's all about, Sister Lisa, how he's so depressed and he's so down. And my husband was upset about it. He said, they're going to drive this man to suicide.
You know,
it goes back to what Brother Terrence said it earlier. How they enjoy, they take pleasure.
That's right, and our suffering,
And our suffering. So
exactly.
It's not enough that he went through all that he went through and was so hurt on the stand. Now you're doing stories on how down he is.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they love to see our. And they love to keep showing over and over George Floyd being killed. That's very traumatic.
Yes.
Right.
Have memories.
But no trauma team for the black community.
You know?
That's
Come
right.
Come on.
Yes, ma'am.
We have
yes,
to
Sister
be
Ava.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I wanted to say real quick, and
oh, yes,
the, you know, and the body cam and footage showing them dragging George Floyd out of the police car after he had got put in, and then how the body cam of Derek Chauvin's was thrown off of him. It was underneath the police vehicle. But, you know, they're really showing, and Derek Chauvin's hands were around George Floyd's neck on those body cams. So you got a lot of intentional, deliberate action even before
Absolutely.
He got to the foot on the neck. So I just wanted to add that as well. Yeah, it was
excellent
awful.
Point. Excellent
yes,
point.
All praise due to Allah. Yes, Sam.
Well, we're down in less than 6 minutes. We're going to get a couple more calls. And let's get Brother Cartier, who's on our separation team, and he's a police officer. Brother Cartier, assalamu alaikum.
Hey, well, Salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, I was just calling in. I got so motivated, I think, by Brother Daryl's expression,
yes.
How passionate he was. And I said, you know, I got to call in and give this story that Allah taught me Saturday while I was at work. I was in the parking lot, and a crow or a raven, whatever you call those big black birds that look like seagulls, but they're all black. This thing, I think it's like a buzzard or something. This thing swooped down and snatched up a baby rabbit out of the field, in a vacant field right behind
wow.
the police station.
Wow.
And when I tell you that this mother rabbit went into a frenzy. This is a rabbit. So, and my, you know, my limited knowledge, I can't even fathom what she would use to fight a bird of prey. Like, you know, it's a bushy tail, floppy ear. It's a bunny. This rabbit chased this crow or whatever it was with this bird, I mean, with this baby in his mouth that the thing couldn't even eat it. He kept dropping it, and then the baby rabbit will like, try to stumble a little bit. The mother will come back. It'll fly over, swoop down again. It was amazing to just watch. It was amazing just to watch nature take us. And I wanted to intervene and, like, shoot the crow away.
The bird.
But, you know, I just said, no, I'm going to let it go ahead. And, you know, the raven ended up taking it. But the mother was so persistent and trying to get this. And this is a rabbit. And it brought to my mind, and that lesson, that's how we have to be. And I put it into the perspective of law enforcement because that's the profession that I'm in. Right now, currently, we as black law enforcement professionals have not only a moral obligation but a legal authority to take the point in policing our community. And beyond just working and being hired as black men in the institution, we got to start now. There's precedence now for those of us who know how to police the black community to develop policy on how to do that. And we got to realize that because you can almost be ineffective and inefficient if you don't have the training or the identity, the self-identity, if they send you downstate somewhere and you get indoctrinated with this blue versus everybody, this, you know, family of the blue line, and then you come out here in your community, which is predominantly black, and you just as bad, or in some cases worse, than these white guys that's policing because you got to prove to them that you with them, and they don't even want you at the end of the day. So I think in my mind, going forward, and it just hit me off of seeing that, it hit me, man, there's precedence now for those of us who know how to police the black community, not to just be police officers, but now start to develop policy on how that should be done. In 2020, or 2021, there's no reason why, you know, communities that are 80% black should have police personnel, number one, that comprise of over 50% white police personnel, and number two, all of the policy in regards to policing is pushed out of the minds of some white men, you know, down south, downstate, Illinois, or downstate, wherever state that you're in. And it becomes ineffective in the community. So I thought that, but I wanted to put it into that context going forward, how we could position ourselves. When I say we, I'm meaning black men, black women that are in law enforcement that really have been quiet and haven't picked a side in this.
Right.
And we gotta stand. I had to cancel my membership with Nobles, which is the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, because they've been completely quiet, man, for 2020, 2021, and the wake of all of this, haven't said a thing. So, you know, I thought that, and I wanted to share that context with the bird.
Sister Ava, may I say just...
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, sir.
Just one quick word. I know we're running out of time. I was talking to a brother not long ago in the neighborhood, and I said to him, I said, brother, have you ever thought that black police officers, even if they're in white neighborhoods, they don't make no mistake and shoot someone because they thought it was a gun, but it was a cell phone?
Never, never.
It's only the white officers that are doing this throughout the country.
That's right.
And that's 100% of the time.
That's right.
But listen, we're going to have to do a part two to this. Because listen to Brother Cartier, you know, make your own community a safe and decent place to live. We have to close ranks and self-police. And
this is
what we need, conscious black officers, male and female. Law enforcement. We'll enforce our own law, not leave a vacuum for them. But I want to thank Brother Rodney, Brother Student Minister Rodney, Sister Lisa Muhammad, for coming on and gracing this program with their presence. I want to thank my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, Sister Attorney Pamela, Muhammad, our legal contributor, and above all of you who call in and log in each and every night and bring such powerful insight. You know, we are a family. Brother Louis Ali, who I saw him on the screen, we had to get to him next week. But may Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding as I leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you so much.